Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
Good morning, church. Oh, it's a good, full church, actually. It's very full. Hello, everyone up there. I can see you. And I'm going to ask you questions in a bit. Who are you following? That's a question to ask you this morning. Who are you following? And I want you to answer that, you know, in your subconscious. I'm not going to pass the mic around, so don't worry. But, you know, there is a joke about this, and it's a story. It's not a joke, really. Maybe it's a joke. I hope you laugh. But it's a story about this Christian father who was driving with his son. So he was driving this car, and out of nowhere, you know, a car in front of them just suddenly stopped, and the father had to slam the brakes, you know, and that happens often to us when we're driving. And so the man had to slam his brakes suddenly to avoid hitting the car in front of it, and the father muttered under his breath, "These people don't know how to drive." And then there was another one who did not use his trafficator, so he was going to turn left, but then didn't use it, and so the man almost again, and it looked like all the odds were against the man that morning driving. Who's ever had a driving day like that? I think I have, you know. And then, but immediately the father said, "I wonder how that one passed his driving test." And the son looked like, okay. And then he went a little further, and then he stopped for the pedestrian. You know, there was a zebra crossing, and then he stopped. But then the pedestrian was just taking their sweet time, you know. You know how that can be sometimes. I mean, I could so really relate with this. But then the father then said, "Can you just move so I can go?" And the son said, "Dad, I'm really starting to think that you are not a follower of Jesus. I think you're more like his traffic police officer." But honestly, sometimes, you know, we can get caught up in having the title, you know, and then not just letting our lives and our heart reflect it. And I feel like that's probably a journey that God wants us to go on this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're not perfect. We're your children. You're growing us. And we ask, oh God, that you speak to us today. We ask that you embrace us even with your love. We ask, oh God, that you will correct us because that's what a father does. But we ask, oh God, that you propel us forward. You know, like Gary was praying, that you will push us forward even with your word and just reminding us, you know, what you have called us to do and to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Have your way. And so you have to think about what it means to be a follower. You have to think about what that looks like for you. And that's why I asked in the beginning, who are you following? If I was going to say I'm a follower, what would be the next line that you would have there? Let me hear. What would be yours? Follower of Cristiano Ronaldo? Follower of who? Kardashian. Wow. Okay. Follower of? But as a church, we are what? What do you think we are? Followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. But, you know, I began to think about it and I said, what does that look like for us? What does that look like in real life? You know, are we fans or are we followers? Do we think we're followers and we're fans, or we're fans or we're followers? Okay, let's see what that looks like. And I was thinking about it and I really had this image in my head of how Jobber goes on about Arsenal, you know, and really, really, I know we're doing good a bit, yeah? It's a good weekend, isn't it? But anyways, I looked at that and I said to myself, there is actually a difference. If you study them a lot, you know who really is a follower. Some of them are even members. Some of them will buy every, you know, item that they sell, whether it's a glove or the scarf or everything, the jersey. They are truly following. You know, they buy the tickets. They have been to the stadium. So they're not just staying in their house every match. They've been there. And if you're like my son, actually, he knows every update on Arsenal, so much so that his father would tell him, "Please stop boring me." So he would tell his father, "We're about to buy this player. We're going to do this." And my husband is always like, "Jobber, please, you know, when we buy it, when it's fully done, let me know." Because, you know, those things can be funny when they say they'll buy it and they don't buy it. And then when they buy the player, he comes, "I told you, Daddy, they bought him. We're going to have him now." And my husband will be like, "Yeah, I know." But you know what caught me? And when I was preparing, somehow God just brought that to me. He said, "That boy follows. He's always checking. He's always reading. I wonder why. But that gave me a bit of an example of someone who is following beyond just somebody who is looking out for the scores every Saturday. Do you see the difference? So I realized that fans go beyond, followers go way beyond what, you know, how fans go. Fans would dabble into things. And so today they can even decide to follow someone else, you know. But followers stay. Followers go all in. You know, followers know that they are a work in progress. They know that this thing can be better, but they are staying loyal and they are letting, you know, that work of being better happen. Fans want to get close for the benefits, only for the goodies. They don't want to do the work, you know, and we have to begin to check ourselves, meaning before we even read the scripture today, and ask ourselves, followers are interested in who they are following, and then they follow. So they didn't just stay at the borderline of follow. And you have to think about the fact that followers come and go. Fans come and go, but followers are loyal, no matter the ups and the downs. So we have a bit of this high-level knowledge of who followers are. They are devoted people. They put in the work. They are willing to grow. Even when they fail, they stand up, as we see that in many of these teams, you know, and they make sacrifices. And when culture goes left, since we say we are followers of Jesus, when culture goes left and Jesus goes right, followers go with Jesus. If and when it will cost them. River Church, Dartford, this is what God is saying to us, even, you know, as a group, including every other site. Let's see what the Bible says. John 15:5-10. I am the vine, you are the branches. I'll let you open up your Bible. I know we have Bibles in the house, so please open up to John 15:5-10. I want you to read it. And that's Jesus talking to you, talking to me. And Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, River Church, Jackie, Mary, Peter, Colin, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the bin, I like to say, but thrown into the fire, Jesus even said, and burned. Got me a little bit scary, but yeah, Jesus said it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. He says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain. Don't go out of it. Don't walk away from it in my love. And he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Those five verses, Jesus literally gave us a template. That's it. This is what it is. This is it. Remain in me. I know when I was preparing, I was going to bring a plant, but I don't have a plant. I'm not a plant person, forgive me. So I was going to bring a plant, and I thought I'll bring maybe a bouquet of flowers or something, but I have some dead ones. And you can imagine it, and you can imagine carrying the plants, and of course the dead ones, what would happen to them? What happens to them? They fall off, they drop off, isn't it? They don't stay there. And when they drop off, I can imagine that if I had brought that in here today and they're dropping off, I can imagine that all the ushers would have come later and be like, you know, with their broom sweeping them away. And that's really what happens, you know. And that's why Jesus was saying, stay in me. So what are those things that don't let us stay? I think that will be a preach for another day. But it's okay if you allow your mind to even begin to wander that way. If we aren't careful, those ones that fall off look like the fans. But if we stay in as we are meant to be, then we would remain followers and we will show forth, like Jesus said, that we are following him. So that's, again, a bit, you know, how can we make this more practical, more day? Let's make it real. But let me tell you something about your journey with Christ. The journey with Christ really It starts with us believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for us. That's how we all started. And if there's anyone who's about to get on that journey, please come. That's how we all started. That's how I started, you know. And then we receive him as our Savior. And we say, yes, come and take over. You are the Lord of my life now. I want to, you know, I want to be, you know, your child and all that, you know, God has. But then we don't stop at just receiving salvation and going to the altar. We also then progress to doing what Jesus says. There is that bit. There is that bit, church. And so we do that. And then we continue to believe. And then we begin to relate the love that we have enjoyed from Jesus to other people. It's almost like that's the step. That's what we're doing every day until Jesus comes. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, thank you. And it shows us that being born again is great. It is the beginning. It is the door opener. But it is not where we stop. That's what the scripture is saying. It's not where we stop. So it means that when we get to that altar, we walk to the altar and we you know, we get that call, we walk to the altar and we accept Jesus, we must not just walk away. We walk away going with him, saying, Jesus, okay, right now, I want to start walking with you. What does it mean to follow? If we say that we want to now go with Jesus, we want to walk with him, what does that look like? And I checked a few definitions. It means to walk after me. So it means that somebody is in front. And for us as River Church, as a family, as an individual, Jesus is in front and we're walking right after him. I have no clue. I'm just taking his own clues, taking his own hints, how he did it, what he did. It says to move along behind someone who is a guide or a leader. And clearly I can speak the minds of our elders and our pastor here, that they are following Christ, and that's who we are following as a church. He's the leader, he's the guide for us. And the same thing in our families, and the same thing for every individual, whether you're a youth, whether you are, you know, single, whether you are married. Ask the husbands here, they will tell you, we follow Jesus, we lead our families that same way we are following, isn't it? Yeah, we are following Jesus. And so just to make it a bit more, you know, when I was praying, I had these three pointers. And Jesus was, the Holy Spirit was really just teaching, saying, just let's even start with these rudiments. Call it habits. Call it, you know, what are the characteristics? What does that look like? And so he said, we're called to, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to be intimate with Jesus Christ. We need to be intimate. Honestly, nothing is never really outside, inside. It's inside, outside. Whatever we will become, whatever life we will live, whatever we will do for the kingdom, it first starts, whatever we will do in Dartford, it first starts with our relationship with God. And so if you look at the scripture we read today, you can put your eyes on it again. For those who have the version that says, abide in me, that's what Jesus said, abide in me. We see that prevailing word. It means to dwell. It means to tarry. It is not, hey, hi, bye. No. Jesus was literally saying to encamp. And it was easy to picture that in my mind because I have gone to New Day. I have gone to Catalyst. I know what it means to camp. Jesus was saying, set up your tent here. Live here. Be in me here. Be with me. And so this whole thing about being intimate with Jesus is really a call that God is making today, reminding us that we need to come closer. Come. Come and hear me. Come and see me. Come and know me. Come and understand me. And so, this word is about dwelling in Christ, staying in him, remaining in him. It's about intimacy. In my primary session, sometimes I always share with my clients that intimacy is not such, it's not about a physical activity. It's actually about a knowing, a vulnerability, an openness. That's really what it is. And so being followers includes knowing facts about Jesus, coming to church like this on Sunday, critical, very critical. It may even include following rules, but that's not all. Tell your neighbor that's not all. Yeah, that's not all. Jesus is literally saying to us today, come, be like this. In front of my word. Find yourself here. Find what I did when I, you know, when this happened. Follow through. Know me. Know my heart. Why did I do what I did? When they brought that woman to me and they were ready to condemn her, why did I say, no, know me, know me? And this is a deep calling. Honestly speaking, I could go on and on just even on this one point, because it's where everything is. Thank you. It's where everything is. Honestly, Jesus is our source. Jesus is our well that we drink from. If the things that happen in this world, if I don't personally, I will speak for my, if I don't have Jesus, I don't know where I would be. Is that not the same for a lot of us? This week things have happened that are, you know, should we, yeah, and if we just don't have Jesus, we would not be here. We would be all over the place. So this is why intimacy is not something we do for other people. It's something we do for ourselves. It's something we do to have the life that God has destined for us, to know him, if not. So we see that picture, and I hope you go home with it, that it can't be that 2-3 minutes of Bible time. It's more. God is calling us to higher. It's got to be. It's not those screens. You don't know how we scroll on social media. No. You've got to sit with me. And so think about the things that are holding us back, the busy schedules, the bills. I know we can, the school, the assignments, many things. But God is saying, no, this is the beginning. I want you in me. Don't fall off. Don't fall off. All right. So he says that. And you know, one of the beautiful things that I wrote down here, I said, we cannot show up on Sunday. Showing up on Sunday is great, but we cannot show up only on Sundays in his presence. We have to show up in his presence on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have to. It's where we get our oxygen. And so let's begin to make space. Let's make space. Let's major in the major. Yeah? Let's major in the major. All right? Okay, so that's the beautiful thing about intimacy that I really wanted us to take on today. It is very important. But you know, you don't just say it like that, but you say it because we have Jesus Christ who followed that path. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, that's why we have a record of him in the Bible, that he pulled away to pray. Jesus even went to the synagogues to listen to them dissecting the word and joining them, literally. And that's why as a church, you see, we're pulling ourselves apart from the noise and the work and all the house chores to come and pray. And we all must take a part in it. That's how we are followers, except we are not followers. And so we also have connect group, isn't it? And we said, everybody sign up. Jackie, sign up as well. But because that's where we are going to learn more about God. You cannot know what you don't stay with. Who agrees? No. For those of us who have great relationships, marriages, dating relationships, you know, with a significant other. For those of us who have great family relationships, brothers, sisterhood, whatever. You know, even friendships. You know that it takes spending quality time, isn't it? Yes, to say, oh, I know him. Oh, that's my buddy. That's my, you know, that's my sister. And that's what God is saying. God be like, don't leave me, I'm here. And so that's the word of God. So number one, we are called to be intimate with him. Jesus was. It's not Sunday vitamins. It's every day. So we come here, soak it in, and then go on and carry on with what we have heard and even what he still wants to tell us further. All right? Thank you. So then let's go on to the next point, because I realize that actually knowing God, Jesus, knowing and understanding him, reading his word, cannot just be all. It can't be all, apparently. So that is the core, but then we now progress into imitating him. No, not too fast. I already gave you an expo. Oh my goodness, I was going to do a test. But we then go on to imitate him. And I think that's where the crux of the matter is, you know, because honestly speaking, it's a tall order, isn't it? It is. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And that's why this is something we do, because we know Jesus, isn't it? Because we have seen it, we have read it, we understand it. It will come easier. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can walk that path. Ephesians 5, verse 2. Paul was literally telling the people in Ephesus, he said, you have to imitate Jesus. That's what he said. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said to them, follow me as I am following Christ. So So the eyes remains on Jesus. So intimacy will bring knowledge, but knowledge must be applied. And that's when we begin to imitate, isn't it? So let's do a bit of a test here. The coach that I am would come out. Can you shout out some of the qualities of Jesus that you know that, honestly, we already imitate or we want to learn how to walk in that path? Who's going to start? Let's start from this group. So I'll take it in batches. Qualities of Jesus.
Holy.
Say that again, sir.
Holy.
Holy. Woof. That's a tall one, but yes. Holy. Thank you. This side, what do I have?
Compassion.
Oh my God. Okay, you guys are in the spirit. They said the same thing. Compassionate. I love it. Jesus was compassionate. From that side, I want like two.
Humility.
Yes.
Empathy.
Forgiveness. Yes. Where would we be without forgiveness? Yes. Love. Thank you. From that side, I wasn't forgetting you. Any other one? Gentleness. He was. And I'm learning to even be more gentle. I'm sure you can tell I'm not gentle already, just even from my preach. But yeah, this is it. And I could have made that list really long, but I just felt I'll stop there. You fill in the gap. But this is the calling. But it is not impossible. The Spirit of God at work in us is able to help us conform. I always say, because I've experienced a little bit of it, naturally, I probably should have been a very crazy person. You know, and those who probably know me closely know, at least like my husband. But you know, the work of the Holy Spirit is doing such a good thing that I can keep quiet even though I could have said 20 words, because I actually can say 100 words, you know, but I can shut it. And that's the Holy Spirit said, okay, isn't that enough, you know? But I'm just saying that it is true that we can actually see our life evolving as we walk with the Lord, and it starts from when we know him, when we sit with him, we are intimate with him, and then we begin to say, I want to be like you, Jesus. But what does that look like for us? How do we respond to betrayal? How do we respond to criticism at work? How do we respond to someone who offends us? Do we respond with forgiveness? How do we join everyone else in the office? Do we join them to discriminate against that one person? We imitate his character. We imitate his actions. Jesus fed the hungry. Such a beautiful day to talk about. Amen. That's typical of our Jesus. That's what he does. Very big on feeding the poor, the less privileged. And that's a lot now in the world we're living in with the economy. Don't we know that? We know that. So it's going to be time for us to be Jesus' hands and feet and extend that to other people. So let's get ready. That's how to be followers. It's as simple as that. Yes. So we imitate his character, his actions, his obedience. In talking about actions, Jesus laid hands and healed the sick. Don't hold back from doing that. You are a follower. Go do it. By the Spirit of God in you, lay hands. Do it. But let's move on. How are you serving the people? The way Jesus did or the way you want to do it? That's how we follow. Jesus, we can imitate him in his obedience, submitting to the will of the Father, even to the point of death. Don't worry, you don't have to die. Jesus already died. He died for our sins. And that's why nothing we do is going to buy us salvation. Salvation is free. Coming to Jesus is free. It's just that after accepting Jesus, there is an expectation. That's what Ephesians 2:10 tells us, that we walk a certain life, the predestined life that God has for us, doing what? Good works. And this is what it is about. That's what we're now saying, be intimate and imitate him. He was an obedient person. He was an obedient person, obeying the will of God, even when it was uncomfortable. And River Church, we're going to get to those days because we're asking God to do so much more. Yes or no? So get ready for that. Get ready for that. Whatever that means, financially, spiritually, physically, walking around the neighborhood, preaching, evangelizing. We'll get to that in a bit. So we don't start emulating Jesus if we're true followers. We don't stop. It may get hard, and I can tell you, that colleague may become more difficult. That class teacher may really be on your case to my youths in the room. But I'm telling you that we keep emulating Jesus. What would he have done in that situation? What would Jesus do? It's such a big reminder. And the Holy Spirit is able. Look at that guy. I mean, look at that. When I looked at that picture, I thought of Ezra. You know? But look at that guy. How many of us have seen this in our children? where they want to wear our shoes, all of them, they do it. And they just boom, boom, and then what happens? They trip off. Yeah, they trip off because it's too big, isn't it? Just like we're all thinking now, these shoes, Jesus really emulates him. He's too big, isn't it? Like, I'm not Jesus. And I think I always say that sometimes when I'm really out of my, you know, like out of my wits, like, leave me. I'm not Jesus. But it's a lie. Get back on that, into those shoes. Yes, you fall off, but pick yourself up and keep walking. That's why it's a journey of grace. It's not condemnation, but he's also always saying, come up higher. Come up higher. So this guy, even though he may have fallen off many times, he doesn't stop. How many of you know? All of a sudden, this little boy becomes a young teenager who is wearing his father's shoes and it fits perfectly. Yes or no? Oh my goodness. That means there is a journey, isn't it? There is a journey. And it's okay when we fall. Don't beat yourself up. Pull up. Let's go. And that's to us as a church, to us as individuals. And I hope that that helps us. But let's move on. So Ephesians 5 verse 1, that was one I was quoting earlier. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. This is scripture. This is not Jackie being hard on you. No, this is scripture. In everything you do, because you are his dear children, imitate God as a husband, as a wife, as a child. How was Jesus to his parents? Because if you think you don't have a template, there is a template in the Bible for you. How was he? He obeyed. Even when he thought, oh, let me be in the synagogue, Mary came and said, but why? I've been looking for you, my child. I mean, I was always looking for our children. Where are you now? When are you back, you know? But that's what parents do. And he followed back immediately. And when they went to the wedding at Cana, he did what? He obeyed. He said, go and turn the water to wine. Go and do what you can do. Even though he wasn't ready, but he did it. And I hope my youths in the room are listening. And even all of us, because we are also still children. And we obey, we obey. Okay? So imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. So you see, this is not something we do as works, tick boxes. No, this is something we do because we are like our father. Where I come from, we say we are not bastards. We are children of the living God. That's it. It's a calling, and we are graced to do it. So he says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God, that our daily living will be a pleasing aroma to God. Oh God, please help me, that in my parenting, my parenting is a what? A pleasing aroma to you, God. God, help me as a wife, that my being a wife and all that you have called me to be, a colleague at work, an employee, a business owner, is a pleasing aroma to you. Like that father driving, all those mutterings, I'm sure God would have been like, really? You're the best driver in the world. Think about all of that. Think about all of that. And then let's go to the next one, the third point. And so he's saying, be intimate with Jesus. Be intimate with him. He says, imitate him. But then he says, influence. So there is this thing that Jesus is really, and you can see it in that John 15, 5 to 10, because that's what he was saying, show to others. Do you understand that you are mine, that you are following me? So it's not even about just us. It's about the fact that others must see from us what Jesus looks like, what it means to follow Jesus. They must come and say, why did you answer so gently? If it was me, I would have broken everywhere. And you say, I can't do that. And they'll say, why? Then you tell them, isn't it? Influence others to him and for him. In verse 8 of our Bible scripture, we see Jesus clearly saying that we need to extend. Our lives must show. Don't be humble to say, I don't want to show Jesus. Please show Jesus. That's not humility. That's hiding him. He's not a secret source. He is an open source. Do you agree with me, church? Yes. And so we become his influencers as we remain in his love, so that others can see that we're his followers. Matthew 5, 14 to 16 says, you and I, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You cannot be hidden. I cannot be hidden. We are light. It now says, let your light shine before others so they may know your good works. Jesus was very clear. I don't know if you are, you know, the way when I read Bible, I'm like, Jesus was clear. He says, so they may see your good works. And what then happens? And they give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's not so much about you, just so you know. It never really is and wouldn't be. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And so we're going to imitate him. That's it. Look at that picture. Look at that picture. Imagine a lighthouse on the edge of a dark, stormy shore. The only job of that light, who knows it? The only job of that light is to what? Guide ships to the harbor, isn't it? Bring it, like, just find your way here. That's what Jesus says we are. Lights in a dark world, and that's what followers of Jesus do. We shine his light. We remember that light doesn't shine for his own benefit. Remember that? It shines actually so that others may find their way, they may find safety, and they may find salvation. God help us. How can we influence others? Our actions at home, at work. Sometimes it's very easy for me to be that angry mom. And a lot of times it's like the most easiest thing to do, isn't it? And think about that in many other areas of your life, even if you're not a mom, even if you're a young person. But our actions at home, at work, in our relationships, people of integrity, reflecting the light of Christ in the way that we act, in our words, what comes out of us, edifying words that grow people, that encourage your colleagues, not the one that makes them feel like they shouldn't have gotten the job. You know those kind of feedback? Anyway, our words and in our acts of love. I think that's the biggest one. And Jesus was very clear about it in the text that we read today. Our acts of love. Kindness. Kindness will tell people who we are. And people are always watching for how we treat other people. I'm telling you. People are always watching, especially those people who disagree with us. People are watching how we, you know, deal with them because they want to see. How we make people feel will always speak louder. And we must remember that if we're really called to expand, if we're really called to grow as a church, every time we go out there, every time we deal with our neighbors, next door neighbors, our friends, how we make them feel will speak so much more that they want to come and know more. So let's remember that. And the Holy Spirit is at work to help us. Please don't, Holy Spirit is at work to help us. We are called to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in our broken world. Draw attention to him. Tell others about him. I cannot tell you that it will never rain if you follow Jesus. Mm-mm. But I can say clearly that if you keep your eyes on him, he will cover you when storms hit. But follow Jesus we must. As I wrap up, you know one thing I saw in this whole preparation? I realized in the summary that the branch falling off the vine can be a function of lack of intimacy or even just going beyond intimacy, imitating and even influencing. Those things are really there to keep us, you know, get going on our toes and, you know, continually. It's not a journey of works. Grace has done the work of bringing us in, but then we have to be and walk in the calling that we have as followers. So we see it's either we are followers or not. But I realize that intimacy will lead to imitation, imitating Jesus, do you see? And imitating Jesus will lead to influencing. It's such a beautiful, you know, connection. It's such a beautiful connection. It's either we are followers or followers. There's no other way, our River Church. I'm not falling off the vine. I'm not falling off the vine. Who is declaring that as well? I'm not falling off the vine. I am remaining by the power of God. I am dwelling in him. I am following him. In Nigeria, we have a slang. Let me teach you. We say, we pin. You know why we say we pin? It means we pin here. We stay here. Literally saying we die here. We're not leaving Jesus. We're following him all the way and going all the way with him to all the good plans that he has for us. Amen. As a church and as a family and as an individual, that's it. So let's go and be intimate with Jesus. That's the charge this week. Let's imitate him and let's influence others to him. I want the band to come up as we begin to close. There was a famous story of Alexander the Great. One night, he heard of a soldier in his army who shared his name, Alexander, as well. So he thought, okay. But then he heard that he was living cowardly and disgracing the army. So the great leader said, get me that guy you call Alexander and, you know, that's been doing this. So the great leader sent for the soldier and looked him in the eye. I don't want to look Attilio in the eye. He looked in the eye and be like, he said, either change your name or you live up to it. Ah, that was a challenge when I was reading this. And I said, God, help us. Yes, we are meant to be light in darkness, so we're going to shine. As followers of Jesus, we bear his name, and we have every power in the Spirit to live up to that name. And we are going to live up to that name by the grace of God. We're going to. Let's live up to that, and let's do it by living lives that are intimate with him, that are imitating him and influencing the world for him. This is our prayer this week. This is our prayer this week. And let's pray before we have the band just lead us in worship. Lord, help us to be true followers of you. Draw us, O God, into deep intimacy with you. Teach us to imitate you in every part of our lives. And empower us to be lights in this world, influencing others for your glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. We'll be right back.